Blog Talk Radio.
From the foggy and rainy Augustine Pass to the blossoming spring of Las Cruces that's catching everybody by surprise with all its allergies, and broadcasting from a small, quaint, underpowered but overhyped single-wide trailer, Kelly O'Connell here. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in at 6:06. Today is the 26th of February, 2015. Hope you're well. Went over and saw a little country music contest last night at Dick's. Whiskey Dick's. It's the new place right off of University, right underneath the overpass, or right next to the freeway area down by the university. It was pretty good. It's a nice place. You should go check it out if you love dancing, if you like country music. We did an event down there. All right, so got some interesting news today, and I'm thinking that maybe the most important thing that we could talk about would be to mention that they're talking in the FCC, as I mentioned yesterday, and it is so basically, it is so chaotic in the FCC for the internet rules that the people on the left in the FCC are asking for clarification, and they're asking for some sort of a statement as to the rules. They want the rules to be released. And the chairman of the FCC, which would appear to me in an unprecedented manner, is refusing to come before the Congress to explain his new rules. This guy's name is, I think it's Wheeler, and he just seems to me like he's just acting like a just like a puppet. And not that it really matters, but the guy doesn't have a college degree. His background is basically as a lobbyist. So anyway, let's get into that a little bit. I've got some storm news for you back east. Winter Storm Central here from weather.com.
This is going to produce the snow. It starts here across Texas and Oklahoma going into the Friday time frame, and then we see this lift its way northeastward here across the Central Plains and places like Kansas City, and then working its way into Chicago and out toward Cleveland as we get into the latter part of the weekend. And by the way, I do want to point out one thing here. Take a look at this. There's enough cold air at the surface here possibly Sunday morning to see a little freezing rain in places like Atlanta.
So the snow stuff is still going on, and we've had some record setting
imagine beautifully decorated
there.
Walls like
I
this without a
Boston
single nail hole. It's easy thanks to Command Picture Hanging Products from 3M.
So,
these Command Picture Hanging strips lock and relock, which
amount. That's the kind of amounts that you are hearing and from. You know, if you're going skiing somewhere, well, you know, ski Santa Fe 100 inches this year. That's a lot of snow. So, and you know, it's bad when the mayor of Boston is commanding people, do not jump out. Do not do the snow diving. do not jump out of the window and
click now to cruise home in a dependable new 2015 Toyota Camry from Vescovo Toyota of Las Cruces, home of the Vescovo value. With
the highest we've gotten.
Also from weather.com. Hold on just a second here.
The highest we've gotten in Duluth has only been 27 degrees, and it doesn't look like in Duluth we are going to get to that 28. So we might have one of the coldest months here on record. As you can see, we're below average throughout the entire Midwest. Tomorrow morning, our lows are going to be below zero. Again, this doesn't even factor in the wind chill. Let's have a look at the next 3 days here. As we look from Minnesota all the way to Cleveland, we're below average, 20, even 30 degrees here into St. Louis.
And, during this week, I'm going to go try to find for you a list of all the records, the cold weather and other snow records and stuff like that for you. I think it would be interesting. And, all right, so, I mean, isn't it incredible that the FCC chairman is refusing to appear before Congress ahead of the internet takeover, what they call the internet takeover. I can't imagine that this could be a good sign for this situation. Now, they say that Soros cash is behind the new rules. Here's the question. Well, how much influence has George Soros had on this presidency, on this administration? And one of the commissioners says independence of agency has been compromised. Folks, we're talking about something here that I'd just like you to think about a little bit. And we do have some other stories to attend to. But let me just ask you to think about this just briefly. If this turns out to be another Obamacare,
our production staff
and
works
we'll
remotely
out
as well
in
as
in
house. So they're able to access files that they need wherever they are. Working remotely. We can meet our deadline because
of Dropbox
for business.
That there are major outbreaks in this country of this leftist policy.
Well, one thing is for sure,
and
it
not
is a
only
monumental shift
are,
toward government control of how the internet works.
Not only
that's about the best thing I can say about
they're
it.
Not,
So what's
people
the worst
on the GOP
it?
Necessarily standing
well,
up to
the
these individuals, but a lot of times we don't even know what's going on. We don't know what's
operates,
behind
it.
And I know it sounds crazy to say
something's
worth
on broadband. The consumers are going
and,
to have to pay.
I'll be the first person to wag my finger at a conspiracy person. But
class actions across the
I mean, there are conspiracies out there, smaller conspiracies, I think.
There are a whole host of harms that are going to happen.
George Soros is funding
this 332-page plan, which
what is he after? I mean, what,
until
what
after
does
the
George Soros care?
I can see it. It looks like a
whether
phone
the
book.
Internet is,
right, so
is let's, free or
let's talk
freer
about these kind of go
or less
those
free. Now, here's a guy
one by
who made
one,
his initial
you
splash in life by being
an
assistant to people that are going
point,
around taking
if the skirmish is happening
Jews,
at this place,
Jewish
at this last mile,
money
at the moment
and property
a user
where
is
he
trying
used
to get the information they're trying to get off
the back of the internet.
Isn't that the
World
place
War
where the regulation
II.
Has
said it was
to
the
happen
greatest
and get involved
days of his life.
There's to be
He's
any
never
regulation.
Apologized for it. George Soros is
So there are
Jewish.
Two responses to that.
And,
first, nowhere
that
in this document does the agency
to,
ever identify any systemic
to
problems
business, so
with last-mile connectivity.
Crazy.
Now, they might
right,
say the competition
some headlines
is limited,
for you.
But they don't give any examples of ISPs
Obama
acting
is
as
saying there's consequences for ICE officials who don't follow executive amnesty. In other words,
are necessary.
They're directing the people whose job it is to protect the border to
release illegals. For the first time, the
amnesty
recipients
could receive
into debates over inaction,
tax benefits
the negotiations
year,
between
even if they
internet
paid,
service providers and edge providers. It would set not only the requirements that companies physically interconnect, but also the rates that they would have to adopt. And it would open up a complaint process. Again, more litigation.
Be more serious
it would
than
allow
running for president.
Essentially either the commission or courts to second guess all of these decisions which currently made are made in the free market. And that's not something
and,
I think the agency
I've got some more stories
for
you. Anyway, here we go.
Well, you know, a lot
here
of this hinges on
America,
sort of the guiding principles of how the administrator
and
what
John Wheeler
wrote
machine.
About and wired
you have the text machine,
his op-ed there. Is, gonna, he talked about this commercial reasonableness and his evolution of what he thought about that,
from
what that meant. And I think what he said, I'll shorten what he said a little bit, but essentially he said, I believe the FCC could
someone
figure it out. What,
there, so we'll come back and play it for you. Here is America. Thanks for tuning in on the 26th of February, 6:14. And let me get you a temperature right now, state of the art. It is right now outside, a little chilly, but it's 37. It's hotter. And I do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, good morning, Coach Mike.
Mike, hey, good morning to you. How you doing?
Pretty good. I just wanted to bring up a brief point. You remember when Glenn Beck was working for Fox?
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever wonder why he got fired?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you never really know why things happen, but what did you hear?
George Soros.
George
Soros. Yeah, you remember how he used to go after George Soros and Agenda 21?
Mm-hmm.
And then he had Bill Ayers at Fox. He, if you put two and two together, he's big pals with Soros.
Yeah.
And they got rid of him.
That may be. I thought it was Glenn Beck was kind of I think that there was a lot of pressure on Glenn Beck to stop reporting on communism and the ties between the administration with people like Soros and the background of communism, Agenda 21 and stuff like that. So I do think that there's something to it.
I would say that George Soros is a part of the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9.
For once, we may agree.
Okay. Kelly, have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Talk to you later.
All right.
All right, folks. Here's a little Sandman America. Synagogue of Satan.
Ain't it foggy outside? All the planes have been grounded. Ain't the fire inside? Let's all go stand around it.
Funny, I've been there, and you've been here. We ain't had no time to drink that beer. Cause I understand you've been running from the man that goes by the name of the Sandman.
He guides the sky like an eagle in the eye of a hurricane that's abandoned.
Commercial reasons meant, but he said, I became a G.
It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. Hope you're staying warm. It's in the 30s out there. Don't be afraid. Not that bad. And it's about 37. It's almost 40. Think about it that way. It's been a little frigid the last few days. All right, so let me read you a few more headlines before I go back to this net neutrality thing. And I've got a few New Mexico headlines that I'm going to get to. New Mexico House passes right-to-work Bill 50 wage hike. And snow is pounding northeastern New Mexico. There's a few for you. Now, 523-1450 to call in. Here's a few more. Clinton Foundation violated ethics agreement. Foreign governments gave millions while Hillary was at State Department. What do you think about that? Now, listen to this. IRS Lois Lerner received $129,000 in bonuses while targeting conservatives. What did she get bonuses for, by the way? She went after the Tea Party. And they've got the emails now to prove it, that it wasn't an accident, as they claimed. Now, Bill O'Reilly, you might love him, you might hate him, very talented guy, very smart guy, used to be a high school teacher right where I used to live down in Florida, down in Miami. He taught at a school right near this university that I was working at. Anyway, they had an orchestrated campaign. It was, who knows, it could be George Soros behind it for all I know, but it was going after him to make him claim that decades ago that he made a mistake while reporting, which it seems totally ridiculous. But this David Corn has put his head out there, and David Corn is about to get his head taken off from what I can tell. Well, maybe do a little bit on that for you if you're interested. But net neutrality, the vote is today. The vote is today, and the claim is that what they want is to make the net fairer. Now, how would they do that? They would keep companies that are rich, the Viacoms, the Netflix, the Amazons from basically dominating the internet. Now, I've talked about this before, but my reaction to it is the same way it always is in which Marxism kind of arises. Marxism says there's only one internet. It's only so big. We got to be careful. Everybody's got to get their slice of the internet. Why not bake a new internet or more internets, like, you know, pies? The classic example of this Marxist theory is there's only so much stuff to go around. Let's cut everybody's pie a little bit thinner so that more people can get to the table and eat. The Adam Smith response to that is let's bake more pies. Let's not be ridiculous. Let's make it bigger. Let's make it stronger. Let's make it faster. Internet. That's the answer. And some of these countries out there have very fast internets. You know, it's like Scandinavia. Like, everybody has super high speed internet. That's what we should have. In the same way that we built the world's first highway system, like modern highway system over here, Eisenhower, coast to coast, and it really revolutionized industry. And that's a place where the government can, I believe. The government can and should get involved in commerce and, you know, things like making the rivers easier and navigate and deeper, and dealing with the stupid slowdown in Los Angeles over the docks, where, you know, one of the biggest biggest ports in the world is going slow right now because they can't get better organized. In the same way, the internet is this monster that has risen up and has supported our economy and thrown out so many. Think about how the internet has affected our lives. Think about how the internet has enriched so many different people. And you can think of Bill Gates. You can think of Larry Ellison. These are billionaires. These are tech billionaires. There's so many people that have made a ton of money out there on the internet. And to quote the Carpenters, we've only just begun. So we gotta protect our internet by making it free. Now, there's things on the internet that you and I don't like. I don't understand, like, the idea that the internet has to be full of, like, porn. And most people have seen porn on the internet. It doesn't seem like it adds to the to human happiness. But my point is that, you know, you take the good and the bad. There's some people out there that are still Luddites. They still hate technology. Some of them are in my family. But you don't. You don't hate... You don't hate on something. You just make it better, you know. And so that's what I would say. We need to do is to make the internet better. Make it not fair. Make it bigger. And I've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. Rob.
Hey, Rob. What's going on?
Hey. So you know the whole thing about that internet. Listen to the title of it. What's it called?
Would you tell me?
That's what I'm asking you. What's it called?
It's probably Americans for Affordable Internet, Bill. But I don't know. But I mean, net neutrality, whatever. Here's the thing.
Right.
Here's the thing, Rob. I know that I know this, and you know this. The law of unintended consequences. So often, and the problem is when you're dealing with solutions to problems. Sometimes the problems exist. Sometimes they don't. But a lot of times when you're coming up with novel answers to problems, there are, because they haven't been tried yet, there's stuff that comes out that's totally unexpected that makes it worse than not having the answer at all, not having the rule or the law, you know?
Yeah, probably. And, you know, what my thought on it is that it should be free market.
Yeah.
You should let people who can afford it get the speed, or companies that can afford it get the speed. Say everybody that's hooked up to Comcast demands that Comcast pay for faster speed, then Comcast is going to do it. Now, if they pass this thing, what I understand about it is that even if half the country wants faster speed, they won't be allowed to buy it through their companies or individually because the other half won't be able to afford it or can't afford it or, you know, whatever.
Well, we as a country don't believe in doing blind policy or blind rule changing. You know, this pass it and we'll see what's in there is a bad model. And here's the thing. We are a country of genius. We have 300 million smart people in this country, not all of them with college educations. We open up the policy process in the same way we open up democracy. You have millions of people who are able to analyze and possibly find problems that might arise that even the smartest analysts who are putting this stuff together didn't take the time or didn't notice. You know, they're so busy putting it out, this, you know, solving the world's problems.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah. So anything else, Rob?
Nope. Have a good morning. Good to hear you.
Thank you very much and have a great day. All right, folks. Let me see here. Okay, I want to mention one other thing here, and I just find this to be an extremely scary idea. It's scary because we've been down this road and it didn't have a pleasant ending. It's always in the struggle between the left and the right. You've got people on the left. We've all known people on the left who are very smart, very talented people, and naturally and quite understandably very proud of themselves. But you've got a problem here where this human genius or this intelligence, this training leads people to the wrong conclusion. The wrong conclusion is we get rid of you know, we get rid of the democratic process because we've got a few smart people working on ideas.
But we have to pass.
It's not just kind of an arrogant way to approach things. It's very ill-advised because, you know, the more minds that you have working on it, the better, number one. Number two, you've got people from rival camps. I mean, it's going to be easier for conservatives to see some problems. It's going to be easier for liberals to see some problems and libertarians and stuff, you know. For example, the right looks over the Middle East, we need a larger, stronger army. The left says we need a smaller, more nuanced, specific army. And the libertarian says we don't need an army over there whatsoever. Each group will have an argument. And together you can have a better analysis. But here's Nancy Pelosi.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what.
Well, it's not playing the rest, but everybody knows how that goes. So we can find out what's in it past the fog of the debate or whatever. And you know, the upshot is, let's have an open country. Let's have an open. These policies that are made in back rooms where we're not finding out what is in stuff is invariably wrong. It is invariably a sign of some tyrannical instinct to FCC chair, and this is National Review, FCC chair refuses to testify before Congress head of net neutrality vote. To prominent House committee chairs are deeply disappointed in the Federal Communications Commission chair Tom Wheeler for refusing to testify before Congress as the future of the Internet is at stake. What kind of a government do we have here when elected officials at the highest levels are not allowed to talk to people in control of powerful committees, which are going to decide the freedoms of the future of things that are so important to us, like the Internet? Anyway, something to think about. Kelly O'Connell, America's Sandman. We will be right back at 6:33 on KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. And, folks, I do have the text machine back, 805-6180. We'll be right back. Kelly, here. Good morning to you. And the EFF is a website you can go down to check out. It's the Electronic Frontier Foundation. And how I would describe this website is it's somewhere between a libertarian think tank and I don't know, Star Wars or whatever. They're into the digital stuff and your electronic rights. And if you remember that, and I just turned on my phone, and it's got all kinds of messages in there that I'm going to have to read you. I was in a coat in the back of somebody else's car. Here's the thing. The way the law works is kind of instructive to how things work in general. And, you know, everybody has an opinion on certain areas of law, how things should be treated, because pretty much that's how we treat them. You know, whether it could be murder, it could be, you know, shoplifting or, you know, there might be some debates over things like marijuana and whether people should be locked up who are just have drug crimes, which is, I think, an interesting debate. But, you know, when you have a new area, the genius of Anglo-American law has always been, as new areas developed, the law gets to work and starts thinking about it. And it's thinking about it through the lawyers, through the judges, through the law schools and their professors, and in the court cases which come out. And we used to have this common law system that would produce innovations in law through basically, you know, the genius of the judges in coming up with a fair outcome. And that's how the law grew. Now, in the old days, the common law said law was not created, it was discovered. So there's this idea that in the way we in the West have liked to talk about it for a couple thousand years, there's a law above the law. And the law above the law is waiting to be discovered as it is applied to various areas. It's a very powerful, and I would argue a much fairer way of doing law than any other place, because if you don't do it that way, then what you end up with is one person's decision by fiat, what they call fiat, or what it's an arbitrary choice. So we've got here in front of us, I believe, an arbitrary treatment of this net neutrality. Why can't this guy come on and talk about this to the elected representatives of the people? Don't forget that the declaration says, don't forget this, folks, this is precious. This is as precious as the germ theory. This is as precious as antibiotics. This idea that the government is just when it represents the people's opinions. Now, there's a lot of people out there, especially on the left, are going to say, well, the people are dumb. You know, the people are dumb. We have to trick people into accepting Obamacare, like that guy that got up who was one of the main chief architects. Of course we lied to him. We had to. You know, got to lie to people to help them. And that's not our history. And we've had the greatest country in the world because, you know, we haven't made a practice of doing that. All right. Now, I've got a little bit from Ajit Pai or whatever his name is. He's one of the conservative voices on the FCC board. And once again, you see the principle of divided government here. You got a couple of Democrats. You got a couple of Republicans. And so the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, is having a war, an internal war, over how to regulate the Internet. In the meantime, George Soros has been giving money to the Ford Foundation, which has given almost $200 million to net neutrality groups. Check this out.
Are these the strongest rules ever proposed?
Well, one thing is for sure, it is a monumental shift toward government control of how the Internet works. And that's about the best thing I can say about it.
So what's the worst thing about it?
Well, I think the worst thing is that it micromanages virtually every aspect of how the Internet operates. It opens the door to billions of dollars in new taxes on broadband that consumers are going to have to pay. It will lead to slower broadband speeds. It opens the door to trial lawyers filing class actions across the country, and litigation usually isn't the best way to ensure innovation. There are a whole host of harms that are going to happen, and that's why I only wish you could see this 332-page plan, which won't become public until after the FCC votes on it.
I can see it. It looks like a phone book. All right, so let's talk about these and kind of go through those objections one by one, because you've listed a handful of them. And let's start with the micromanagement. I mean, at some point, and I'll take the other side just because I can, at some point, if the skirmish is happening at this place, at this last mile, at the moment in which a user is trying to get the information, they're trying to get off the back of the Internet, isn't that the place where the regulation has to happen and get involved if there's to be any regulation?
So there are two responses to that. First, nowhere in this document does the agency ever identify any systemic problem with last mile connectivity. Now, they might say the competition is limited, but they don't give any examples of ISPs acting as any competitive gatekeepers that were in such a way that industry-wide rules are necessary. Secondly, this document goes well beyond last mile connectivity. For the first time, the agency would insert itself into debates over interconnection, the negotiations between internet service providers and edge providers. It would set not only the requirements that companies physically interconnect, but also the rates that they would have to adopt, and it would open up a complaint process, again, more litigation, that would allow essentially either the commission or courts to second guess all of these decisions, which currently are made in the free market. And that's not something I think the agency or the courts are equipped to do.
Well, you know, a lot of this hinges on sort of the guiding principles of how to administer this. And what Tom Wheeler wrote about in Wired in his op-ed there is he talked about this commercial reasonableness and his evolution of what he thought about that, what that meant. And I think what he said, and I'll shorten what he said a little bit, but essentially he said, I believe the FCC could, you know, figure it out what commercial reasonableness meant. But he said, I became concerned that this relatively new concept of commercial reasonableness might down the road be interpreted to mean what's reasonable for commercial interests, not consumers. What do you think it should mean? Should the rules be there to promote what's reasonable for business or for the users of the Internet itself?
I view our role at the FCC as vindicating the public interest. And in my opinion, the public interest is driven primarily, fundamentally, by what is good for American consumers. But putting that to the side, the question about commercial reasonableness or not is something we've applied in a great many contexts. I'm sure we could do it here to vindicate the consumer interest. But what really happened in this case was the president, in unprecedented fashion, directing the FCC in early November to change course, to adopt his plan to regulate the internet. And that's more than any change of mind, I think, is what's driving this bus.
Now, the taxes, you mentioned heavy taxes. Isn't there already a rule in place, you know, the Internet Tax Freedom Act, that prevents there from being any taxes on the internet? How could that lead to more taxes?
This is a critical point. The Internet Tax Freedom Act only applies to essentially a sales tax on internet access. It does not apply to the fees that would necessarily follow from us reclassifying broadband as a telecommunications service, which is what we're on the brink of doing. And so if you look on your phone bill and you see that universal service fee, this order explicitly leaves the door open to us raising the federal fees under the Universal Service Fund and letting states do the same. And that's why one independent study said that $11 billion at least in new fees will have to be increased as a result of this reclassification. And that's something that consumers are going to have to pay for regardless of that new legislation.
Well, that was the Progressive Policy Institute study, the $11 billion. That was the high end
Correct.
Of their estimate, yes?
Well, you might say it's the high end. On the other hand, who would have thought a year ago that the FCC would all of a sudden spend $1.5 billion to expand our E-rate program? Who would have thought that the agency would contemplate dramatically broadening the Lifeline program? And these are all parts of the Universal Service Fund program.
All right. Well, you get a taste of that. Once again, we're bringing here's the progressive model. The vast majority of people are not very smart. A few people rise to the top. Many of these people go to the Ivy League schools. They are trained how to be leaders. Then they come into government, and it is their privilege and their duty to lead these kind of dumb masses towards enlightenment. That's the basic progressive view. And you're seeing it played out here in the net neutrality fight, the FCC fight. You're also seeing it played out in Obamacare, et cetera. My question is, how does it seem to be working? Open question, you know. Is this the model that we need to go forward? The founding fathers, who were an elite group of people, I believe were totally opposed to that. They wanted more freedom. They wanted more transparency. They built a nation, a democracy, a republic. A republic is so much stronger than a democracy. It's got so much more to offer. That's what we built. And is it being taken away from us? Kelly O'Connell, 645-523-1450 to call in, 805-61802 text. We will be right back. All right, folks. So, I mean, really bringing to your attention something that is so important.
You're welcome.
It is our internet freedom now. 20 years ago, or your grandparents, my grandparents, to think about, I mean, I was just talking to, when I had this little service, I had a little service for my mom who passed away a few months ago. And my family's pretty far flung, so we finally got together in Utah and had this service. And it was cool. I mean, my mom was a great person. And, you know, she was the kind of person, family first and others before herself, and didn't like to be in the limelight and stuff. And it's just, it's like we don't make people like that anymore. You know, everybody's out fighting for their own peace these days. But the conversation about, you know, X number of years ago, who would have thought that you could have a phone that wasn't connected to something? Now, of course, our grandparents, great-grandparents would have been baffled. Maybe, you know, 100 years ago, there were not even phones. So think about the technological revolutions that we've gone through. But now we're fighting over something that has become so precious to us. And, you know, even if you're a critic of the internet, most people want more freedom on the internet, not less. Most, probably a lot of people want to see the pornography go away, or there's this dark internet out there that a lot of people don't even realize that is unpublicized. It's kind of these uncharted depths. It's kind of like the ocean, you know, like some parts of the ocean are so deep. This dark internet is where a lot of bad stuff is. But as we know, life after the garden, the good comes with the bad. You know, we work jobs and we get tired, and, you know, we don't make enough money and don't have enough time off and everything. That's life in the big bad world. But you know, we had to fight for this internet. I mean, I don't understand why everything has to be have more regulations on it. And I mean, is healthcare better now that it's regulated, or is it better now? I mean, what you hear from the left is we've got this theory of what healthcare should mean, and it's really a philosophy, you know. It's a philosophy that is either true or it's false. The philosophy, though, can come in and just poison things. You saw that in Russia and China. The philosophy was more important than anything else. It didn't matter that the government was killing tens of millions of people as long as the philosophy was being followed. And, you know, the people on the right tend to follow more of a religious or a common sense, instinctual, libertarian goes off common sense and science. Conservatives, neocons, theocons, some are driven by religious views. Others are just driven by the sense that conservatism seems to give better answers to life's problems. On the left, it is an ideology. It's humanism. It's the study of the great thoughts of mankind. And it just seems to me going in that direction exclusively is a way to, it's a minefield. And it has proved to be a disaster for humanity. And yet there is this incredible push by the current administration and a lot of people in society to keep going in that way. As a matter of fact, an article just came out. I think I mentioned it yesterday. There's a lot of young women getting into witchcraft. I think what you find is as religion begins to be pushed out of the picture, other things come in and take the place, you know, the Christian religion. So you see some people are, for some strange reason, seem to be interested in radical Islam. Other people are embracing agnosticism or atheism. Or they're huge proponents of science over everything else. Some people embrace paganism. I met a lady the other day. She had a Wicca stuff on, and I asked her about it. And this is over in Utah, but it is no longer a country where we can presume that the Christianity is a default. All right, I got a little Stephen Wright for you here. 523-1450 to call in. And a little bit of stand-up. And we'll come back in just a second.
I was walking through the forest alone, and a tree fell right in front.
Actually, we played that little bit yesterday. Let me advance this a little bit.
I had a photograph on my license taken out of focus on purpose. So when the police do stop me, they go, here, you can go.
Sometimes you can't hear me. It's because sometimes I'm in parentheses. I bought some powdered water, but I don't know what to add. I'm entering the Stranger Sweepstakes. It's a contest. You pay 50 cents, you get a little card that has a number on it, and then you go up to any stranger. You scratch a penny on his head. If the number under there matches the number you have, you win $100. I won twice. I was beat up 11 times.
All right, folks, just kind of mopping up the gravy and potatoes from the end of this hour. So we've got a lot of stuff going on in Washington, D.C. that's a little hard to fathom. It's hard for people to follow because, you know, they don't see the rules and they understand that there's this internal war. Even the Democrats are uncomfortable with this thing because ultimately everybody wants freedom for their stuff, right? So the fact that that Tom Wheeler wouldn't come in front of the Congress is, I think, a terrible it's a terrible sign as to what's going on there. The EFF, the thing I was telling you about, Electronic Frontier Foundation, go there, EFF.org, and find some great there's articles in there, but there's also a lot of stuff on law and intellectual property. Intellectual property is just the area of the law that deals with things like Basically, you write a book and you're selling it on Kindle, and then you find out that they're stealing it in China, for example. That's your intellectual property. You have a right to it. So anyway, the EFF is asking that there be a rethinking as to the vague general conduct rule, which, you know, if this is applied, it's going to be passed, possibly, quite probably going to be passed. And the general conduct rule could be used to use a lot of stuff. We are deeply concerned that the FCC's new rules will include a provision that sounds like a recipe for overreach and confusion, the so-called general conduct rule. And so, according to FCC's fact sheet, the proposed rule will allow the FCC to review and presumably punish non-neutral practices that may harm consumers or edge providers. And so you want to avoid having laws that have the ability to apply unspecified or draconian punishments. And that's what we call an ex post facto law, an after the fact law. You don't really define what the law is in the first place. And then when something happens that you find objectionable, then you say you've broken the law and punish the people or the company. We want to avoid that. We want as much free growth on the internet as possible. The internet is an incredible place. And, you know, think about how many people are connected to the world now that weren't before, just because they have an internet hookup in maybe some rural areas. So anyway, let me take you out of here with some America Sandman. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. I'll read your comments, text comments next hour, and we'll do a little bit of New Mexico news.
Thank you.
Hey, it's stop. Hey, it's Kelly. It's Kelly.
Hi.
It's Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this?
I was calling Bravo Mike.
Yeah. What were you calling for?
I was actually calling to see if there's any job openings.
Can you call back on the name, the main number? You've called into a show and I'm on the air.
Oh.
Thank you.
All right.
Kelly here, and I have got a guest in the studio. It's Bev Courtney, and she wanted to come down and talk about some Tea Party stuff. Bev is a friend of mine, and we hang out occasionally. And I just gave a speech over at the Tea Party in down at the Three Crosses. But just looking for any other headlines that you might be interested in. Madonna falls pretty hard on her rear end. That's big news. But she seemed to have shaken it off. And other stuff here. ISIS releases video showing Islamists smashing ancient artifacts in Mosul. And there are some rules in Islam that have to do with art and with, you know, they're kind of similar. There's a lot of things in Islam that are a kind of a... an echo of things. They're either directly quoted out of the Bible or they're kind of an echo on the Bible. And if you recall that a few, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe they went in and they destroyed those statues of the Buddha when they took over, when I think it was Al-Qaeda that took over. These people, if you've ever noticed in Islamic architecture and art, there's a lot of circular patterns and cross-hatching and diamond shapes and everything. There's this real beautiful, what they call filigree patterns there, but they don't believe in reproducing the human form, basically. So anyway, you've got a if you had a world caliphate like they want to put in there, you would have a lot of destruction at to say the least in these, you know, basically there would be a lot of closing of art galleries and museums and such. All right, so I invited Bev on today to talk because I know there's a lot of listeners who are in the Tea Party about stuff that's going on in the Tea Party in the country and the Tea Party's perspective on stuff. And I guess there was a kind of a nasty letter that was turned in that she wanted to comment on. But good morning to you, Bev.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Good to get you out of bed this early. How are things in the Tea Party?
It's been growing slowly. Every month, a few more people have come and joined and have a bigger team this year. So more people have volunteered to work.
All right. So I've got a question for you here. What is... How do you define the Tea Party? How do you define it? How do other people define it? For individuals who've just heard the name kicked around and maybe even trashed a little bit, what is the Tea Party? What are the core ideals of the Tea Party?
Okay, there's like probably about 10 on the major issues, but
the 10 commandments of the Tea Party land?
Sorta. Really though, in a nutshell, it's like this. Tea Party was an offtake of the Boston Tea Party, right? Early American history, we love it. And it just simply means taxed enough already. It's bipartisan. I think there's a lot of, especially the working people, understand that they're breaking our backs.
All right, so the Tea Party is for in most people's mind, it's conservative, libertarian, conservative. What would be a Tea Party argument for... to say to a Democrat, join us. What would be an argument for that?
We approve of the law. We believe that the law of the land has served us well for 230 years, and we don't want to change it.
What they call rule of law.
Yes, yes. We have the U.S. Constitution. The Bill of Rights are precious because that guarantees the freedom and the liberty that we have enjoyed, And I do not understand why people want to change that.
Well, I mean, the law is always changing. We understand that. And
not the rights. Those you could say they are natural rights,
mm-hmm.
or I consider them God-given rights.
Well, there's actually no separation between natural rights and God-given rights. Just let me give you a little bit of history. In the development of the West at some point, and this starts actually very early, this idea of natural rights history, you see it back in the Greek authors. You see it in Aristotle. You see it in Heraclitus and the Stoics and stuff. This idea that there was a law above the law. The Romans did it differently. The Greeks did it with the law above the law, a little bit of God's law. For the Romans, it was more of the way things should be. They didn't worry about the God over the law. Rome was very religious, but it was also very primitive. But they had this very powerful analysis of the law that developed over the years. Then you run into the church and thinkers like Augustine and Aquinas and then up to John Locke and stuff. You've got this very robust theory of natural law that comes out of the Greek humanists and the Christian. So it's very powerful.
Yes.
And in the Middle Ages, we developed natural rights. And the probably the high point of natural rights theorizing is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and Declaration.
That's right. And it was written from Christians, and the Western culture is a Christian culture. However, they were not tyrants. They gave people freedom of choice. No one in this nation ever said to be a Christian. You would never be coerced to be a Christian. It's freedom of choice. That's what they gave us because that's what God gives us.
Well,
freedom of choice.
From the very beginning, you've got people coming over. From the very first colonies, there were believers and non-believers. We've always had a pluralistic country.
Yes, that's right. And you can debate that all day, but the Christian worldview is what brought the pilgrims over here to Plymouth, and they were suffering persecution because everybody knows that story, that the British were going to force them to be in their church.
Anglican church?
Yes. And it was more political than religious, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was a battle between the empire of the Catholic Church, and basically the Catholic Church was kind of trying to get other countries to go along, and that's just the way it was done in those days. And then you had offshoots against it like Martin Luther, like the King of England, Henry VIII. And so we have the world that we have today. The Reformation occurs and everything.
That's right. It's freedom of conscience, freedom of choice.
What does the Tea Party focus on, in your opinion? What's the main things that the Tea Party focuses on? If you went to a meeting, what would it be like?
Right now, the two big issues which are in front of everybody is, especially in this state. So you have to go to battle where they are. You came and talked to us about John Dewey. He is called the father of modern education
in America. He's basically the god of American education. He's had such an impact.
People were not paying attention. It was probably before World War I, right? And World War II?
Yeah, we're talking.
Nobody had heard of Nazis, and so they were just asleep.
We're talking about the 1800s, you know, that a lot of this theorizing is going on.
And it didn't get a stronghold and take off and spread rapidly, I think, until the 60s, or so-called sexual revolution. And they just broke down all the barriers and rebelled against it. But those were good barriers. Those were good rules that we had. People were free from government tyranny. So when you throw out the balance of powers, which is what the Christian founders brought us, the balance of powers.
Well, let me throw one thing at you and the listeners, too. To me, although there's always going to be a debate whether the founders of the country were Christian, to me it doesn't matter as much because they were dealing with a worldview that was born out of Christianity.
That's exactly right.
And they were Enlightenment people, so they were being drawn toward this deistic theory of God. But what the foundational stuff of the country all came out of this Christian theorizing that had happened for 1,000 years before them, from the Middle Ages on. And, you know, some of their ideals came out of Greece and Rome, but people have no idea how much of this stuff comes out of this ferment that occurs in the Middle Ages.
Really?
Don't interrupt, Ev. Just step back from that mic. That there is a ferment going on in the Catholic Church that creates all of this, these theories that later, I mean, we are beholden to the Catholic Church, the medieval period, so much for so many of our ideas, and a lot of highly educated, you know, a lot of people who are teaching a political science in universities and
yes,
are brilliant
God
people,
bless them.
They don't know that. They don't know that because they haven't taken the time to trace it all the way back. But folks, we have got a guest here today, and it is Bev Courtney, and she's the president of the Tea Party.
Yes.
How do people get a hold of the Tea Party?
We do have a website, Las Cruces Tea Party, and our new volunteer is going to get it up and running. So.
That's Rob?
Yes, Robert Westbrook. Thank you, Robert, if you're listening.
And how often do you guys have meetings?
Once a month, third Thursday at Mountain View Christian Church. I think the number is 271 Three Crosses Avenue. So it's real easy to find, and it's at 6:30.
All right, and I've got a little more America here for you. It is Sister Golden Hair, one of the classic tunes from America. The band that started in England, they were the children of, they were the boys of American servicemen overseas. And here's a little Sister Golden Hair live from Midnight Special. Kelly O'Connell, 717-523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back.
Well, I tried to make a Sunday, but I got so damn depressed that I set my sights on Monday and I got myself undressed. Now, I ain't ready for the altar, but I do agree this time when a woman sure can be a good friend of mine. Well, I keep on thinking about you, Mr. Golden Enterprise, and I just can't live without you. Can't you see it?
Kelly here. Good morning. It's 7:22, and we have Bev Courtney on the in the studio today. She's the head of the Tea Party. All right. One of the things I want to ask you, it's a hardball question, but we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Jeff.
Jeff, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I have a question for Bev and you. If the Tea Party is against the Social Security insurance tax. Social Security insurance tax.
Bev, do you have an answer for Jeff?
I do. The Social Security is not a tax. It's taken from the workers. They earned it. They paid it in. It's their money.
It's not communism, Jeff, but what do you think of it?
Well, my idea would be, you could, you know, just be a 10% Social Security tax. Your employer wouldn't contribute, just you. And it would be 10% Social Security insurance tax on investment income and work and earned income. But you could reduce that by 25% if you invested, if you donate it to a church like that one on Three Crosses or any voluntary organization. What do you think of that?
So it sounds a little complex, Jeff. How would it work again?
10% Social Security insurance tax on all investment income, no matter how high, and all earned income from jobs. 10% of the individual pays it, and then you can subtract 25% from that if you've donated that to a church or a voluntary organization. Because those organizations do sort of kind of a Social Security thing for you, too.
It sounds like a good idea, and I am all in favor of a 10% because it's fair. You shouldn't punish people for working. And I'm a capitalist, so if they work hard and they can make business and make it happen, I'm all for it.
Well, Jeff, what was the part about the church?
You can donate 25% of what you would have paid into Social Security if you give that money to a church, you know, and you have proof that you gave it to a church or voluntary organization. And then,
charity.
Hopefully the church doesn't kick you out later so you can't collect on it.
Well, you know, I wrote some stuff about all these things too, but you got to start somewhere. And another thing is, you know, with this Obamacare insurance, it's not going to be enforceable. We've already got, like Steve Pierce says, we've got all these laws on the books that we aren't enforcing them, and probably Social Security tax, the way it is right now, isn't being enforced with a lot of these people getting paid under the table. But I'm not for a cashless society, but I've had jobs and paid into it, so I have a stake in Social Security, so I don't want it to be abolished, but I think it could be reformed some, like with my plan.
They are enforcing the Obamacare. My son is being forced to buy it right now.
Oh, they're enforcing Obamacare, are they?
Yeah, because if he doesn't, the penalty is, it was either $325 or $425, and next year it goes up to like $1,100 and something.
They lied on that then, because I know that it was like the first year is supposed to be $95 fine. So they've already lied on that too, I guess.
They can change
anything they want, I guess, even through Obama can make an executive order.
Jeff, I can't wait till they start taking body parts for not paying. That's what I'm looking forward to. Anything else, Jeff?
No, just everybody getting all these Social Security disability benefits, they ought to be able to pay cash for doctor bills. It's the doctors that have been inflationary because they want to live this high lifestyle with the BMW and the Mega Mansion, and there should be a law against
Jeff. Mothership to Jeff, what about trading chickens and eggs for medical care?
Yeah, if the doctor will accept, they ought to come and do home health care like they used to.
If he's not a gosh dang vegan. Well, Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Have a great day. Thank you very much. We got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Yeah, Mothership to Kelly.
Yes, hey, going,
did you know that they're going to ban 223 ammunition here pretty soon?
Oh, my gosh. Folks, go get
your
critter rounds.
You can Google that and find out more about it.
Go get your critter rounds, folks. Those are high-velocity varmint. I guess they're trying to save the varmints.
I don't know. They're picking on things that they think they can get away with.
Gosh dang it.
Bit by bit.
Chewing away. They're nibbling away.
Yeah, nibbling away on our
freedoms like a bunch of termites in your house. Pretty soon the house collapses.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. I can't remember what we... Jeff seems like a guy that... He thinks about stuff a lot. I mean, he's solved our Social Security problems right
come
there.
Come to the Tea Party, Jeff.
Jeff, come on, man. You can come down there and raise all these interesting, bring up your formula for saving Social Security. All right. I'm going to take a little break here. I got Bev with me, and she's the head of the Sister Golden Hair right here. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. And we'll be right back. 805-6180-2 text. Here's America. What a classic song, huh?
Well, I keep on thinking about you, Mr. Golden Enterprise, and I just can't live without you. Can't you see it in my eyes? Now, I've been one for it, but I've been too hard to find.
Now, get the local buzz. News from Las Cruces and the region on KOBE. AM 1450.
Students here in Las Cruces are organizing a walkout, and the reason? Standardized testing. New Mexico students will be participating in the PARCC, better known as PARC tests, and those start on Monday, and many of those students feel that their education is geared in to take the tests, but without any real educational value. However, spokeswoman for the Las Cruces Public Schools, Jo Galvan, has stated that there are many consequences. Part of the requirement for graduating is...
People in public school
are
perfect. Sorry, but that's
terrible.
They are. They really are. Look at all of this.
seems familiar, but I couldn't name it. After the rain? Yeah, the 80s, wasn't it? It's pretty young. I was a teenager. I was probably listening to country music mostly. Yeah, cowboy then. I didn't say I liked it. Keyboard. I've been thinking about having a Bible study in my house on Fridays. And you could play. You could play.
Thanks, but no thanks. Kelly here, and thanks for tuning in. Talking to Bev Courtney, pretty interesting discussion about the Tea Party. We've had a lot of Tea Party. I think a lot of listeners to the show have at least some sort of a positive view of the Tea Party, or they're involved in the Tea Party. Haven't done a lot of shows on the Tea Party. And so, all right, Bev, some people say the Tea Party is racist. I never even occurred to me until people started saying it. And I remember the classic example. They went over to Arizona to that Tea Party rally, and there was a black guy there, and he was actually carrying – he had an open carry with him, and they came up and said, what do you think about the racism against – you know, what do you think about the Tea Party against your people? And he said, these are my people. And I thought, wow, that's one of the most powerful things that I've ever heard of. Think about that, going beyond race to find out what people truly believe in and sticking with that. How about that?
I think that – they can find a home in the Tea Party, because if we're anything, we would be anti-slavery. Go back to the Bill of Rights when they were held as slaves in America. Well, naturally, they couldn't own a gun. They didn't get the Second Amendment right. They didn't get
Spartacus,
any of the rights.
It would have been Spartacus all over if they could have had a gun. But that's a brilliant point. Don't forget, folks, there was always a debate in America over slaves. There were a lot of people, and there were a lot of ministers who never accepted the idea from the earliest days of America in slavery. And the slaves were freed ultimately by sticking to the Declaration and Constitution. That's what happened.
It's exactly what happened, because you can't have all men are created equal with slaves in the land. And so it just made our law and our ideas and our principles of none effect. And we have those principles as the Tea Party, that the more freedom that the people have, you have smaller government. So we definitely believe in smaller government.
All right, let me ask you this. What is behind this idea that smaller government is better? I mean, don't we all want more stuff, more protections, more of the government giving us direction?
Well, the ignorant and the uneducated do. But if they were properly educated in the role of freedom, they would want the government to stay within the bounds that were created for it. The federal government, the
the Constitution was about what they cannot do. They have certain enumerated powers, and they're very, very limited. And now they have police powers, they have taxing powers, and it just goes on and on. And the bureaucracy is endless. The more you have of that, the less freedom you have. And
well, that's so true. What about the fear that if the government was, let's say the government, according to the Tea Party, is like a giant bush that has become overgrown. It's grown over the path.
Yeah.
Well, people are afraid if you hack that bush back, we're going to lose out. We're going to be exposed. We're going to lose out on things that we desperately need from the government. What's your response to that?
Actually, we survived quite well when they were still within their boundaries, say. It started, 1913 with the central banking, the Federal Reserve, all of that.
Income
we functioned
tax.
Well. We grew. We were prosperous. People had freedom. And we had our roads. And that's all set up for the county and the state to take care of, too.
All right. How about this? The idea that the government comes in and does a bunch of necessary stuff, turns us into children, turns us into slaves, turns us into, slaves in the sense that we need direction. It makes us from independent to dependent people.
Yes.
I got another phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who is this?
This is Aaron Kelly.
Aaron, thanks for calling in. Hope you're doing well. And what's on your mind?
Well, I think to the Tea Party's what they're trying to say is that, you know, the government, what's been decided is what's necessary has grown and grown and grown. It used to be all that was necessary was a strong military, and now look where we are.
It's true. What do you think about what's your image of the Tea Party, Aaron?
So actually, I've been to a couple of Tea Party. I went to their big events when they first were getting started, and my impression was what a bunch of freedom loving people. You know, enough of all this control and telling us what we can do, what we can eat, where we can get our medical treatment, forcing us to teach our kids certain things, on and on and on. And it's, I'd love to see a revival in our country that's, led by the Tea Party myself.
Yeah, was there, you see any chance of the Tea Party becoming a party of, like, the Democrats or Republicans?
Well, I don't think so. I think like your other guest stated earlier, unfortunately, I think Americans, the majority is not well-educated enough or well-informed enough. Maybe not educated, but just informed. You know, people don't know anything. You watch it on TV, you see that Waters World, and they ask them, who's this guy? They show them a picture of George Washington, and they don't have a clue.
Yeah,
They don't know who the first president of the United States was. They don't know anything.
They're more kids know more of Michael Jackson than they do our founding fathers.
Well, we've just created and that's what big government does. It creates a bunch of sheep, and then they shear them every so often and send them back out to pasture.
Oh my goodness!
It's driven by greed and power, and they won't stop. They will not.
No. It will eventually reach critical mass, and that's when you have uprisings and problems with the society. They finally fight back, and they'll at that point they might take a big chunk of power back, and then it starts over again.
Aaron, hold on just a second. I'll put you on hold. This is Kelly. Yeah. Aaron, finish that point up.
Well, I'm just saying, reach a critical mass, you have a big fight, you gain a lot of your power back, and then inevitably the government starts chipping away at it again.
So true. Thanks a lot for the call, Aaron. Thanks for your call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Hey, Patty, what's up?
Hey, I was just going to respond to what your guest said. They won't stop. No, they're not going to stop. They're going to push this to the limit. I think that we need to stop them, and we need to stop funding their operations through taxes, through consumerism, through all of it.
Yeah, Interesting. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we could bet, we could stop. I mean, really, do we need all the stuff we get? We could stop it for a week, and I'll tell you what, they'll back off.
Patty, did you know that the county is planning to raise taxes on the 24th, and the city is also talking about raising taxes again? The local people here see no reason why they
I'm
shouldn't
not even
be
employed.
Paying our money.
I have an education. I have not been employed since I got my education 6 years ago.
Terrible.
So, good luck. You know, I'm just saying, I think that it's time for us to just stop. Stop. Don't give them one more red cent dime.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a good a good answer.
Just think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to.
We're
I'm stepping out of it.
Petition against
I am.
Patty,
I'm done.
Go.
Y'all have a great weekend,
yeah,
Kelly.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, you too. Folks, here's a little more Sister Golden Hair, and we'll take a little break. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in on KOBE, 523-1450. It's 7:40, and a beautiful day out there. On the 26th of February, 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back.
Will you be here? Will you be here? Say you love me just a little. You see love to show you care. But I tried to fake it. I told myself I just can't make it.
It's Kelly here. I got Bev Courtney. Bev, what are some of the most common things that are voiced at Tea Party meetings that you've heard? What are Tea Partiers? What are they afraid of? What are they, you know? What do they react to? What are the things that motivate them to come to a meeting?
Well, they're interested in our rights, maintaining our constitutional rights, smaller government, less taxes, and fair. What is fair? Because the people are taxed more and more. They become impoverished, and the government grows bigger and bigger. And then if they have all the power and all the wealth, guess what? They tell us what to do it, when to go to bed, when to eat, just like children. And I don't want to give up what I have enjoyed, what our nation has enjoyed. Among the nations of the world, they're all trying to get over here to enjoy our prosperity and to enjoy our freedom and protection under the law. So we're against the high taxes, what they're educating our children in socialism. And their problem is so many people love socialism.
We got a phone call here. Thanks for calling the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Chuck, Kelly.
Chuck, turn that radio down. Chuck, call back. Sorry about that. All right. So, I have noticed that people do carry those constitutions at the Tea Party. And, you know, a lot of people in the United States have never read the Constitution, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights. And we got a Chuck back here. Chuck, is that you?
No, this is Thomas.
Thomas, hold on 1 second. Hi, this is Kelly. Who's this?
This is Chuck.
Chuck, hold on. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a Tea Party member, and I certainly want to thank you for what you're doing and allowing Bev to be on to speak for us. And, you know, the Tea Party basically started out wanting to inform people about what's going on. That's our main thrust, is informing people. But unfortunately, people don't listen as well as we'd like. They don't have the ears to hear, if I might say. So now that we've got to get busier on doing some actual work and actions, and that's what everybody needs to do. You know, we need to get back to our roots.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, I think that's true.
I'm sorry?
I agree.
You know, I don't know if you heard of the Black Robe Regiment.
Yes, I have. I wrote something on it.
Yeah, well, you know, if people do the research, it is the churches that really got people started realizing what freedom consists of and how King George was being a real tyrant. After repeated petitions to King George in the English Parliament, then and only then did the colonists decide, well, you know, we have no other recourse. And so they went the hard way, and the Revolutionary War started. And so my point is churches need to stand up. And unfortunately, no offense to anybody or anything, because they've got their reasons for what they do or don't do. But as I see it, and this is based on history, you know, the revivals, for example. We've had great awakenings, so on and so on. There's a lot of information available on that kind of thing.
Yep.
So and until we actually have churches will stand up and get us back on our moral compass, okay, because that's what got this country started to begin with.
I got
the
you.
Early
Chuck,
settler,
Chuck I, you're,
sorry.
You're kind of launching into a sermon here. I've got another caller
okay,
here. But
okay, I'll cut off.
Chuck,
yeah, thank
Chuck,
you very
Chuck,
much.
Chuck,
you
Chuck, Chuck,
now, it's
Chuck,
not a sermon,
Chuck.
It's sharing information.
Chuck.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Oh, gosh. Listen, folks, if you call in, listen to me. Listen for what I'm saying. I know it's kind of hard to hear, but I'd prefer to have a conversation. I agree with everything Chuck said. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. What's on your mind?
Well, I was going to say, if your guest and the Tea Party is trying to elicit new members and that sort of stuff, it might be helpful for them not to so often refer to those who are not part of the Tea Party. At times, she said they're uneducated, and then the other phrase, uninformed. I can appreciate uninformed, but uneducated, I'm not going to buy that.
That's a fair enough statement. Bev?
Well, coming out of the public school and John Dewey, if you get informed about early American history, about the Constitution, the law of the land, you have to do your own research. And so people are not informed about that.
So what do you think about that?
Well, as I say, make a distinction between a person who's uneducated and a person who's uninformed. There's a great difference between the two.
Yeah, and I agree, and there's no reason to be insulting. I do think that you would probably agree with the fact that to get a real first-class education these days, it doesn't happen in the Ivy League. It happens in the library.
Well, that's been the case. That's always been the case. I think people who assume that someone else is going to teach me have made a fundamental fallacy to begin with. You go to class to learn certain things, but what is it you're responsible for?
Well, I homeschooled my kids. When they went over to the university, they were forced to be liberal if they wanted to really do well in school. I don't appreciate that. Most of those professors over there are not in touch with the common American worker. You know, they're anti-gun. They don't even know why. I've invited them to explain to me why they believe the way they do, and they just shake their head and walk off. Well, they're 60-70% socialist in this community right here. They admit it. They claim it.
Who's socialist? Hold on a second.
Who?
Yeah, that's
most
an overstep. You're speaking to one of those professors
okay.
now,
university.
And I'm calling to have an honest and open discussion, and all of a sudden I'm being called a socialist.
No,
so,
no,
that's
hold
the sort
on,
of
hold
thing
on,
that turns
hold
off
on,
people who are conservative, but don't
hold
want to go to
on,
this extreme place where you guys find yourself.
Mothership calling in. I didn't call you a socialist, and Bev didn't call you a socialist. I think she's talking about the are you talking about the academy, the professors? Or are you talking about...
Well, them and the county commission, our city government.
Well,
come now.
There might be some socialists.
We can see what they do.
I understand, but we're the caller is trying to find out if you're calling him a socialist, and we're certainly not. I haven't heard you. You've called in before, but anyway, any concluding thoughts?
Well, as I said, I was talking, rationally, talking about the difference between being uninformed and uneducated, and she lights off on the fact that 60% of the professors are socialists. Well, that includes me, so it's very likely that she's referring to me as a socialist, and I don't appreciate it.
Hold on one second. Stop. Hold on one second. Hold on one second, Bev. Hold on. I got another call. I'll put you on hold. I'll be right back. Anyway, listen, Art, well, let me give you a chance here. Are you a socialist in your mind?
Absolutely not.
Oh, well, then I accept you at your word.
What do you think is one thing? What you do is another.
We got to go to another call. thanks a lot for the call. I'll talk to you soon, okay? Thank you. All right. You called in the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
I want to tell you something.
Oh,
I'd rather prefer having socialists, quote-unquote, than a bunch of conservative kook whack jobs like they've got in Kansas.
Oh,
you know,
God.
You see what's happening with that great, wonderful conservative experiment on giving everybody taxes. Now they dug themselves a hole.
Well,
so, you know,
Frankie, how about that? Frankie, even the best theory can be misapplied. Even you'll agree to that.
Well, yeah, and then you keep it. What's the old saying? Insanity, keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Heraclitus.
That's what you conservatives
Heraclitus.
Keep doing. You keep doing the wrong thing.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling up to straighten us out. Anything else?
Well, let's see here. Whatever. Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys are so screwed in 16 with that slate of potential presidential nominations. They're all whack jobs.
Yeah.
You are so screwed.
Right.
I'm telling you now, you heard it here first. You guys are so screwed. What do you think of that?
I appreciate the honesty. What's the relationship with that honesty?
You can't go wrong with it. That's what happens when you're a learned liberal. You've got honesty. You know what I mean?
I got you.
We'll see you, Kelly.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Thanks, Frankie. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Okay, it's Mike. Isn't it stunning to think how far we've fallen to end up with Obama in just a few decades?
Yeah. Yeah, people used to live with their parents. Now they live with their dogs. It's crazy.
Yeah, and Kelly, another thing, I think the Tea Party is sabotaged by these conservatives who accommodate these liberal progressives who strive to subvert everything. Reagan's greatest strength was his own abashed pride.
Wow.
Have a good day.
Heavy. Thank you very much, folks. Take a little bit of a break here. And we're with Bev Courtney, and I'm going to try to finish off with some live piano if I don't develop stage fright. Kelly O'Connell, and we'll be right back at 7:53 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in.
Don't miss the annual O'Blarney Golf Scramble. To better...
Bev, you're a lot better.
Enjoy my car.
Saving the money, though, because I'm planning a trip to Spain, so I bought an album that teaches you the language. You put the album on, you put headphones on, you learn the language while you're sleeping. During the night, the record skipped. I bought some powdered water, but I don't know what to... skipped. In a little card that has a number on it, and you go up to any... money, though, because I'm planning a trip to Spain, so...
Kelly here. Now, let me ask you something, Bev. We're talking off the air. What would you, the Tea Party tends to be older people, what would your best argument, we got a couple minutes left, what would your best introduction, your best invitation to the younger folks, the college kids, be to come to the Tea Party?
Okay. You are the most free individuals on the face of the earth. And the world looks to us to uphold that light of freedom, the Bill of Rights guarantee your right to free speech, to carry guns, to keep the money in your pocket, to choose your own career. Common Core is going to have you from the cradle to the grave. They're going to tell you what to do. So you cannot let go of it. Find out what the law of the land is. Find out about the Constitution, the sacrifice that it took, and to stand up wherever you're at, whether it's your professor or your job, or your friends and your neighbors, your family, speak to them about where we came from, our history, and where do you think we're going.
Let me do my interpretation of what you just stated. Educate yourself, inform yourself on the history of America, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, so you can find out who you really are, who your forebears were.
That's right.
And what your inheritance is, your intellectual.
What is our future?
Your societal inheritance. Find out what family you were born into and celebrate your rights. Defend yourself, defend your family, defend your country.
That's right. We have the best thing in the world. All the people come over here wanting that prosperity, wanting that freedom, and we're going to keep it. We're going to hold it, and we're going to keep it.
Thank you for coming on, Bev. It's been a great show. Give you a few more little Stephen Wright snippets here.
I was beat up 11 times. I was saving the money, though, because I'm planning a trip to Spain. So I bought an album that teaches you the language. You put the album on the language while you're sleeping. During the night, the record skipped. I got up the next day, I could only stutter in Spanish.
It's Kelly, thanks a lot. And I'll take you out here with a little bit of the Eagles' Hollywood Waltz. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell, and thanks for tuning in. Ciao.